and that have looked at it in such a way that really just takes away, I guess, personal freedom. They cannot see how living the life of a Christian would be living a life that would be free. And we just kind of shared some thoughts back and forth. I was kind of sitting just in the background, and eventually I spoke up near the end when I was asked to, but it really got me thinking, though, about the greatest source of freedom. And that's what our message is going to be on today. I got in late last night. It was not too late. It was still later in the evening, and my thoughts were still just kind of coming together. By this morning, I was getting kind of concerned because I still had this on my heart, but it wasn't really put into any kind of organizing any way for me to bring it forth. But I do believe the Lord has burdened me with this message, and I hope that He has blessed me in such a way to have this prepared to where it will make good sense to you. And again, many people in our world have a view of Christianity as a religion that would make them less free. And many people ridicule and make a mock of those who follow after Christ and the Scriptures. The world desires freedom. Freedom is a very popular subject. But the freedom that the world desires is a freedom to live however they would choose to live, to follow after their own pleasures and passions. But this is not true freedom. Living in such a way is really a display of bondage and leads to destruction. So we hope to talk today about the greatest source of freedom. The life of the Christian is not a life of bondage. It is a life of freedom. And first, I would bring out a point that some might argue upon. They would say, well, if you are a Christian, if you say that you're under the rule of Christ, how could you say that you're free? Well, again, they're looking at freedom in a whole different way than how it should be looked at. But we're going to look here in Romans chapter 6. For the one who says, how can this be a life of freedom if you are under the rule of Christ? Let's look here in Romans chapter 6 and see what the Scriptures say about this. Many people in our world want to be their own person. They say, I don't want to be under the rule of anyone. I'm my own person. I'm following my own thing, and this is really me. This is my own identity. I've got a separate identity from everyone else because I'm me, and I am my own person. Well, that is really not true. I remember having that type of mindset when I was younger. I thought, wow, just because I'm different from some of the ones in my class here at school, I'm really my own person. But really, I was just following the ideas and following the fashions of a group that was out there. No one is really their own person. Everyone is following something. And we're going to look here at how no one is even their own person when it comes to being under their own rule. Everyone is under the rule of something. And let's talk about this here in Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 20. I could start in verse 18, but I'm going to skip down here at verse 20. It says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. So those who are not Christians, those who are not serving and following after Christ, they are free from righteousness. But they are also servants of sin. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it gives us there two positions that someone could be in. One position is someone could be alive, or I guess instead of alive, I could say under the rule of sin and free from righteousness. That is one situation you could find yourself in. And the only other situation that there is to be in is being under the rule of God and being free from sin. There's no in between. No one is their own person in that sense. No one can say that I'm just free to do as I wish and how I wish, and I'm not under the influence or rule of any other. Because if one is in that mindset and far from Christ, their true state, how they are in position of rulership is the sin has rulership over their life, and they are not free from sin. But we as Christians, speaking of the greatest source of freedom, as Christians in Christ, who is the greatest source of freedom, we have been freed from the rule and from the bondage of sin. We are no longer bound in sin. We still struggle with sins. We still have sins in our lives that we have to deal with and fight against. But we are no longer under the rule of sin because our great captain, which we have sang about this afternoon, has made us free from that rule and from that bondage. Now, a Christian is also free from heavy burdens. Many religions are out there today, and even some that go by the name of Christian, that place heavy burdens upon the shoulders, upon the backs of people, and for them to bear. And Christ spoke against this in his ministry on more than one occasion. He spoke out to the lawyers and saying, you teach men to observe things, but you don't even do them yourselves, putting heavy bondages upon these people, and they are burdened. What that means to be burdened means weighed down. They're weighed down, living a life of, if you think of someone hiking with a backpack on or with all their gear, they're not going to be able to hike maybe as fast as someone that had their backs free. He would be burdened with all his things. And there are those out there that seek to burden people by teaching them things to put upon themselves, but these teachers aren't doing them themselves. And Christ spoke against those people. He says, woe unto them. The Pharisees, he said the same thing to. He says, you are laying heavy burdens upon those, and through traditions of men, and which are not to be done. And it's not right before God. He was very much opposed to such. But even other religions in the world, we can look around and see the heavy burdens they place upon others. The story that I've heard of a woman asking a Hindu priest how she could be freed from this burden of guilt and this burden of sin, and this Hindu priest telling her things to do, and kept on, each time she would return to him, he would give her something else to do, and it just kept on going and going, and finally at the end he says, really there's nothing that you can do, you'll have to live under that burden. People today who think that they are free, even those who are saying that, hey, I wouldn't live a life as a Christian because they're so, because freedom is so limited under the Christian way, I guess they would look at it that way. They're under the rule of Christ. I wouldn't live that way, but yet they are carrying around burdens, heavy burdens. Something I would look at, speaking of those religions and those even among professed Christians who would teach things that are not so, here in 1 Timothy, it tells us a couple of things that we are free in here in 1 Timothy. And this is a burden that's been placed upon many people. Like I said, there are some that call themselves Christian groups that will say that they will teach their people and their congregations that they are to abstain from meats. They will teach that the preacher, or what they would call the priest, is to abstain from marriage. And all of a sudden, you find people under great heaviness and great bondage and burdens. But in Christ, we are free from that. We're going to look here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. But what does the Scriptures leave us with here? It says that these people who are teaching these doctrines of devils, putting burdens upon you, forbidding you to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, it says, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Can you imagine being under that burden, believing that it would be wrong for you to be married, believing that you are to abstain from marriage and being persuaded to abstain from meats, and all of a sudden hearing something like that, how that would free you the freedom, again, that is found in Christ. Because, again, a Christian is free from heavy burdens. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 28, Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, this invitation doesn't go out to everyone. This invitation is to those who are laboring, to those who are heavy laden. And here's what Spurgeon had to say about, not Spurgeon, I'm sorry, John Gill. I was looking here real quickly on this verse, and I thought Gill did a good job of explaining who these are who are heavy laden. He says, "These are such who groan, being burdened with the guilt of sin upon their consciences. These are those who are pressed down with the unsupportable yoke of the law and the load of human traditions, and have been laboring till they are weary in order to obtain peace of conscience and rest for their souls by the observance of these things, but in vain." So for these kind of people, Christ says, "Come to me if you're weary. If you're weary of all these burdens that have been placed upon you, and if you can't find peace and rest for your souls, but you're seeking that, come to me." And he says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is not, Christianity is not a religion that weighs people down. Christianity is a religion that it makes the burden light, because we're coming to Christ whose yoke is easy. We are not resting upon our works and what we are doing. We're resting upon the works of Christ and what He has done for us, and only in that can we find peace for our souls. It is not a religion that has its followers distressed within their hearts and burdened within their hearts and having being pressed down with guilt. It is not a rigid religion that would cause the follower of Christ to be in constant despair. Following Christ is not a rigid walk in the sense of just being burdened and cast down from the heavy weights that are placed upon you. Now, it is a difficult walk. We've talked on that, and even just recently in messages past, about how the way to follow Christ is a narrow way. It's a straight way. It's a difficult path. It's not this broad and easy way which the world goes in. But at the same time, it is a path that will give you rest. And it is a light burden to follow Christ, because we are not burdened with thoughts of having to remove our burdens ourselves. We can't do that. Christ, and in Christ alone. It says there, "Come unto me, those who are weary, those who are heavy laden, those who need rest." Those are the ones the invitation is sent out to. John chapter 8. The world, as they try to free themselves from Christ and free themselves from the Scriptures, end up putting more and more burdens upon the backs of themselves and upon the backs of others. But in John chapter 8, we're going to see how we are free from ignorance and error. We're going to see how that is here in John chapter 8. We're going to look here in verse 31, starting out. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily," that means listen up, listen carefully here, "I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Whoever practices, lives a lifestyle of sin. We've talked about this already in Romans 6. The servant of sin. "And the servant abideth not in a house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. All right. First off, we see in there that you have to have the Word in you before you would... let's see here. Where am I getting at with that? It says, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my Word hath no place in you. The reason why the world does not understand why you would walk the Christian walk, why you would follow after Christ, because the Word of God is not in them. But it says here, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's free from ignorance, free from error. How is it that the truth shall make you free? Let's look at that in reverse order. If the truth is going to make you free, then it will only make you free if you know the truth. It says there, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, how are you going to know the truth? It says, before that, my disciples indeed. You must be a disciple. You must be one who is following after Christ to know the truth. You're not going to know the truth just all of a sudden. It's not going to happen. You have to follow after Christ, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, how is it, again, that you are going to be a disciple of Christ? You must continue in the Word of Christ. You must continue in the Scriptures. Endure in your studies. Endure. You must, in other words, this has much to do with being in the book, studying the Scriptures. And in that, following after Christ, following after His teachings, following after His Word, you're going to be made free. Again, we're speaking of the greatest source of freedom. A Christian is to walk in obedience to God's Word, and when the world hears that, they consider all that is in the Scriptures that they've heard, and they say, now how is that free? How could following the Scriptures be a lifestyle of freedom? Well, I hope to answer that right now. Imagine to yourself here. Imagine that you were married. And let's say that you were married at a young age and you were just deeply in love with your spouse. And then there was an accident that happened and you were disabled. From then on out, you weren't able to walk. You were no longer able to speak very much. Maybe you might be able to speak a word or two, but you were just severely disabled from this accident. Think about how you would feel so trapped. Think about how you would still love your spouse and you would want to be able to show that love to your spouse by doing things for your spouse, by getting up and maybe getting something for them or going out and buying something for them or just the things that you would naturally want to do to express your love. But you weren't able to express your love because of your disabilities. Wouldn't you feel like you were trapped, that you were in a prison? Well, let's look here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 15. It says, if ye love me, this is Christ speaking, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The commandments are not to be looked on as something that would trap you or to imprison you. The commandments give you this opportunity to express your love for Christ. What would it be like if we had this love for Christ and we had no way to show Him that we love Him? This would be like the situation that I've explained earlier. It would be, that would be trapping. That would make you feel that you were in a prison. But with the commandments, I know Brother Jimmy is preaching on the commandments, but we hope to look here and see that it is actually that that frees us to express our love to Christ. And it's also what gives us an opportunity and frees us to have a close relationship with Christ. Let's look at verse 21. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you desire to have a close walk with Christ? Do you desire that Christ would be made manifest and brought close to you in your life? You have the commandments. Are you keeping them? Are you keeping the commandments? Don't be as the world and look at the commandments as something that is to be done in a grudgingly way or just done in this in a way that is just forced. It's not to be looked at that way. For the Christian, it is what frees the Christian to show and express his love for Christ. and to seek a close walk with Christ. Also, the commandments of God and the Scriptures, they free us from the destruction. It makes us free from the destruction that accompanies a sinful lifestyle. It frees us from that. God knows and has told us what is good for us. We oftentimes think, I know that such and such must be good for me because I just want that so much. Well, we don't really know that. But God does know what is good for us. And how often our hearts have tricked us into thinking that something would be good when later we find out that it's actually bad for us. How often has it been that you've really desired something in your life and you've thought, only if I had that. But then, maybe a year or two down the road, you turn back and say, thank you, Lord, for not giving me that. The Lord knows what is good for us and has told us what is good for us. If a doctor told you to go on a certain diet to help your body or to take certain herbs or medications to help cure your disease, you would find freedom in knowing how to regain and maintain your health. You would find freedom in that. It wouldn't be that you would be mad at the doctor or mad at what he has told you to do. You would be excited. You would say, okay, here's a way that I can regain my health, and here's a way that I can maintain my health. The Scriptures are not something to be looked at as a bad thing. For the Christian, it is what frees him. The Christian also, this is the last point I'd like to make. This isn't going to be a I'm going to say very much on this point, but it's one of the most important ones, I would say. I don't know, they're all important. But this is one that I guess brings more joy to the Christian than others. A Christian has the hope and has the expectation of the freedom that will be found in the new heaven and in the new earth. America is not the greatest source of freedom. This country, though it does provide freedoms, it is also taking away more and more freedoms. We find that I found even going to the lake with my grandfather the other day to go fishing. This was, I guess, a couple of Thursdays ago. I was hoping to go out there and fish, and I did, but first I had to buy a fishing license. It's $28. My grandpa had to take the boat down the lake. We weren't really free to go out to fish without that fishing license, by the way. And we weren't really free to take the boat out either. We had to make sure we paid a tax for that too. The government has to know about the boat. And then I believe there were some other tags that I saw on his trailer and this and that. And even getting out on the road with a vehicle, you're not very free to do that. If you buy a car and you just start driving around in that car without going to the government first and telling them about that car and paying some fees, you're going to get in trouble. So we think about America being the land of the free. It does provide a lot of freedoms, but we don't have ultimate freedom in America. You don't have that greatest source of freedom which so many people think that we in this country have, and they want to share that with others and want to go around and, I guess, applaud it as the greatest freedom. The greatest source of freedom we have been looking at is here in Christ Jesus. And we have that hope and the expectation of the freedom that will be found in the new heaven and in the new earth. And we're going to read about that here in Revelation chapter 21. Let's see here the freedoms that will be given to God's people. Revelation chapter 21. We'll start with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We see here, we have read many things that we will be free from there in the new heaven and in the new earth. We see that we'll be free from tears. We'll be free from death. Free from sorrow. Free from crying. Free from pain. It also says there that we will drink of the water of life freely. And also, of course, we must make mention, the reason why we appreciate Christ as much as we do, we need to consider what we've been saved from and what we are free from, and that which is those who are going around saying we're much more free than these Christians over here, we're living such free lifestyles and this and that. It says those kind of lifestyles, those kind of people, they're going to be in the lake of fire. We're free from hell. That's where we would be. That's the kind of lives we would be living if it wasn't for the free grace of God. So yes, Christian, you are free. Your Christian walk is a walk of freedom. You have much freedom in Christ. Do not let someone fool you into thinking that they enjoy more freedoms outside of Christ, because in reality, they are under the bondage and rule of sin. Christianity is a religion that frees you. It is the only religion that frees you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I do thank you that you have made us free in Christ. We thank you for lifting our burdens. We thank you for the blessing of being a servant of righteousness. We thank you that we're no longer under the bondage and rule of sin, but that you have called us from that to serve your dear Son. We thank you that you establish our steps and that you lead us, and that you have blessed us, Father, with the great hope and expectation of heaven. We long to be free from even sin itself, for it still being in our lives tears at our heart, Father. We long to be free from the struggles of sin. We long to be free in those ways which will be free there in the glory world. But we thank you for the freedom that we can have here. And we thank you that we do not live a life that is one which is burdened and cast down. One that is serving you out of fear and serving you in a way that is miserable. We thank you that we have a purpose in how we serve you and why we serve you. And we thank you that we can follow your commandments and show our love to Christ in doing so. We thank you that we can follow the Scriptures and follow Christ and have a closer and sweeter communion with Him. I pray that you would help us to not be fooled by those around us who would pretend to have more freedoms outside of Christ, but that we might remember that we have Christ, who is the greatest source of freedom. We thank you for Him, and we thank you that we are found in Him. It is in Christ's name that I pray, and amen.